West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Morning Session 2, Message 5. Laboring for the Church and in Coordination with the Church. Scripture Reading, Acts 2, 41 through 42, 46 through 47, Ephesians 3, 9 through 11, and 4, 11 through 12.
Well, all the ones who have the outline, maybe we could just start by reading the title altogether.
Amen.
Okay, starting from laboring, sorry. Laboring for the church and in coordination with the church. So, brothers and sisters, what are we here for? We're here to labor for the church and coordinate with the church. After this week, haven't we heard so much? Enjoy so much? But what is it all for? It's for the building up of the church. I really appreciate the song we just sang. You know, there are so many who are called, but how many are willing to build up for the church? This is really God's heart's desire, right? Isaiah 66, God said, "The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. But where is the house that you have built for me? Where is the place of my rest?" Okay, you go to Matthew 16, 16. The Lord is asking Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" You know, they were saying, some say you're the prophet. But Peter said, "You're the Son of God.
Amen. That's right.
You're the Christ." Amen. And the Lord said, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in the heavens." So our Heavenly Father desires to reveal Christ to us. He desires us to enjoy Christ our portion.
Amen.
But immediately the Lord said, what did he say? He said, "I also say to you, you are Peter. So you're going to be a transformed rock, a transformed stone." And he says, "Upon this rock, upon this revelation that I am Christ, I will build my church." Amen. So this is Christ's heart's desire, that he wants to build up his church. But what is our desire? Is our desire to build up the church? When we enjoy Christ, is our desire just to be someone spiritual? Someone who's overcoming? When we preach the gospel, are we just merely saving souls? No, we're here to build up the church!
Amen.
I'd like to take a little bit of time and just review the Old Testament. If you consider Daniel, right? He was in captivity. He was in a pretty good situation. He had companions. You know, they were praying a lot. He was quite spiritual, quite overcoming. But did you know what he was praying for? It says three times daily he set his heart to pray toward the city of his God. And so in the footnote it says his heart was absolutely for God and for God's people, for God's temple and for his city, that God may establish his kingdom. So when we go back to our campus, we need companions. We need to sink our roots deeply into the Lord. But what is our real desire? Is that all we want? I hope our desire is like Daniel. We will have a heart that's set for God's city.
Amen.
Okay, so you go to Ezra. What is the situation at that time? If you consider when David counted his people, there were 1.5 million people of men who drew swords. So you multiply that by two for the wives and the kids, maybe about 3 million at that time. And probably more than that went into captivity into Babylon. So when in Ezra's time, the king allowed them to go back to build up the temple of their God. Did you know how many went back? It's 42,360. 42,360 went back to build the temple. That's not a lot compared to the 3 million plus of children of Israel. Where are the ones who desire to go back for God's temple? Alright, Haggai, a different situation. You know, of all the ones that went back to build a house, something came in to distract them. And what happened? You know, God had to come back. You know, you're there burdened to build up your house, but how about my house? That's more similar to our situation, right? Today we're all in the church life. But where is our desire to build up the house of God? I hope we really have this desire.
Amen.
You know, two nights ago we had a wonderful consecration time. I hope in our consecration there is a feeling for God's house. So let's read Roman numeral 1 altogether. God's desire is to have the church. All that God does is for the church, and every kind of work and ministry should be for the church. Here we have Ephesians 3, 9 and 11. It says, the saints are perfected unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So all of our work, this line we're on is on gospel preaching and shepherding on college campuses. So everything we do on the college campuses should have this in view. Why are we preaching the gospel? Why are we having Bible studies? Is it just so we can have wonderful Bible studies? No, it's to bring wood for the building up of the house of God. So, if we're going to have such a desire, we must be ones who are in the meetings, right? If you're not going to the meetings, even if you have the desire, it's not very practical. So point A, it says we must present our bodies to the Lord for the church meetings. Amen. Here's this really good, Romans 12, 1, it says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. So we need to present our bodies. That's the first thing. And actually, in that chapter, it's body first, that the mind is renewed, and our spirit is burning. Yeah. And our concept, it's we need to enjoy, exercise our spirit, and then we go to the meetings. Actually, in Romans 12, it's we need to present our bodies first. Then our mind is renewed, then our spirit is burning. Amen. Imagine last night, if you weren't here in the meeting, is your spirit burning? I don't think so. But by presenting yourself to the meeting, our mind is renewed and our spirits are burning.
Amen.
We'll have one brother to come up to testify, Ryan. Ryan Baca, so.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Oh, each one of us.
Amen.
These meetings really depend on each one of us. My name is Ryan. I go to UCLA, and I just want to share a quick personal testimony. Excuse me if I talk fast. I don't have a lot of time. So I'm going to present this a little backwards in chronological order, but this past year at UCLA, in spring quarter, I did not make many meetings. I had a full load on my plate. And so the few meetings I did make were maybe the small groups and the table meetings. But not much else and not much personal time with the Lord. So in these meetings, I was kind of there just hoping to get nourished, but not really presenting anything myself. The meetings are kind of like a potluck, How can you expect to really eat and get nourished if you're not bringing anything to it? And so, I wasn't functioning in the meetings. I was just kind of there, kind of dead from the world. But the quarter prior to it, in winter quarter, I was on a strict schedule that I put myself on. Reading the Word, having a prayer time with the Lord, morning watch. I made as many meetings as I could, coordinations, prayer meetings, small groups. And oh, Lord Jesus, this was just walking the normal Christian life and having the normal church life. Oh, it was so enjoyable. I was able to come to the meetings and, present something, add to the meeting, And, when you're bringing something, you're gaining more. It's just this mutual fellowship in the meetings. And like Sean was saying, this is how the church is built up, If we're trying to preach the gospel, but we're not going to the meetings, what's that going to look like? But the meetings, they were so enjoyable. Not each one of them was like a college training meeting, where everyone's riled up, but they were just so refreshing and so nourishing each time, And it was, like I said, it wasn't like a huge peak, but it was very normal. It was a very normal living, just the church life living with the Christian life. And oh, Lord Jesus, this is just the exact type of living that we need to have.
Amen. Thank you, Ryan. So point A, there's a verse here, John 20:24. It's not a good example to follow, but John 20:24 is John chapter 20. That's after the Lord's resurrection, right? He came, he met with the disciples, and he breathed himself into them. But in John, this verse, it says, "But Thomas, he was not with them when Jesus came." And so when he saw the other brothers and they told him, Jesus is alive, he says, Thomas did not believe them. You know, so how much will you miss when you're not in the meetings, right? Okay, so let's read point one. Let's have the brothers read all together. In Hebrews 10:26, to sin willfully means to abandon one's... We do that all again?
In Hebrews 10:26, to sin willfully means to abandon one's own assembling together with the church.
Okay, so in Hebrews 10:25-26, it says, not abandoning our own assembling together, as the custom with some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. Verse 26, it says, when we sin willfully, you know, so when we abandon the assembling together, in God's eye, it's a sinning willfully. But I'd like to highlight two phrases. The first one is, as the custom with some is. I think, you know, in our human nature, our custom is not to assemble together. You know, there's just so much other things in our eyes that are more important, right? As a college student, I remember, you know, prayer meeting, well, Lord, I need to study. You know, I can't go to the prayer meeting. I have homework. You know, is that your custom or not? I don't know. But, no, we shouldn't abandon our assemblies. But I like this. It says, so much the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, as the Lord is coming back, we should assemble more. We shouldn't let our meeting time go dwindle, right? Be less. Also, what do we treasure more? You know, sometimes I hear students, you know, they have their twos and threes together. They're praying. It's wonderful. But I know, not to expose the brothers, but you know, they schedule their twos and threes time at the same hour as a prayer meeting. Well, it's wonderful that they're praying, but where is the heart for the prayer meetings? You know, what do we treasure more? Well, amen. The meetings of the church include break-breaking meetings and prayer meetings, as well as meetings for the exercise of gifts and for mutual building up. When we come to the church meetings, we should have something of the Lord to share with others. Amen. Before coming to the meeting, we should prepare ourselves for the meeting. Amen. After coming into the meeting, we should not wait for an inspiration. We should exercise our spirit and use our mind to function. Amen. I really enjoy the Old Testament picture. When the children of Israel, they gathered together. Right. Did you know what they did? I really enjoy this verse in Exodus. It says, and they beheld God and ate and drank. That's all they did. You know, this whole week, isn't that what we're doing? Amen. We're here beholding God and eating and drinking. Amen. Well, if the children of Israel came to the feast, say, you know, 10 of us came to a love feast and half of us didn't bring any food. What kind of feast is that, right? It's a very poor feast. In the same way, when we come to a meeting, we're here to feast. Amen. But if we don't bring our own portion, if we're not laboring throughout the week, the meeting will suffer a lot. Actually, how enjoyable the meeting depends on how much we enjoy, right? How much we're sharing. If we're not prophesying, if we're not speaking, we'll realize the meeting is quite poor. And that point B is quite crucial. We should not wait for inspiration. We need to learn to exercise our spirit. Amen. It says the spirit is subject to the prophet. You know, so when we come to the mic, don't wait. Don't wait for the Lord to stir up something within you. Just go to the mic and speak.
Amen.
Okay, point B, let's read this all together. We do, preaching the gospel to save the sinners, feeding the new believers, perfecting the saints,
teaching the word, for the building up of the churches.
Amen. So whatever we do, it's for the building up of the churches. Okay, sisters, point one, and then brothers, point two.
The goal of gaining people is to bring them into the proper church life.
Do not wait too long before bringing the new believers into the practice of the church life in the home.
So what is the goal? The goal is to gain people, to bring them into the proper church life.
Amen.
Amen. About this point, it says, do not wait too long before bringing the new believers into the practice of the church life in the homes. Sometimes we just wait too long. In our gospel preaching, you know, we meet a contact, we're there shepherding them, taking care of them. We're having wonderful Bible studies on campus. But we just wait too long to bring them into the church life. And so what happens? You know, they go out and find another group that they want to meet with them. Because, you know, they're having good Bible studies, but they're looking for something more. So we shouldn't wait too long. But concerning this matter, we also shouldn't be too fast. There is a phrase that says, haste makes waste. Right? So if we're too hasty, right? You know, we meet this gospel contact. He's very open. Say Tim, right? He just loves calling on the Lord. So immediately, the next day, we bring him to the Lord's table meeting, and he just gets freaked out, and we don't see him again. So we need to be wise concerning this point.
That's right.
You know, we shouldn't wait too long to bring them to the practice of the church life, yet at the same time, we shouldn't be hasty. Well, for this, we need much coordination. And so our brother Stephen will bring us into this point.
Let's read Roman numeral 2.
There should be a proper coordination in the campus work and the church.
Amen. You awake?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So yesterday we talked about, you know, the student nucleus, the rising up of the students to take the lead on campus. But today we come to this message on number one, laboring for the church. With a goal. The goal is not to build up a great Christian club. It's not to have lots of people on campus in a Bible study. But the goal is the church.
Amen.
And then secondly, how do we, even as we are taking the lead on campus in a coordinated way with the students, we also cannot forget the second point, which is coordination with the church. Coordination with the church. Now let me read you point A. It says the church and the campus work need to be in occasional fellowship. Right? All right. Need to be in what?
Constant
fellowship. All right. So that doesn't mean at the beginning of the semester we let the full-timers know what our plans are and then check with them at the end. The church and the campus work need to be in constant fellowship. Constant fellowship. All the time. All the time. Fellowship. Fellowship. Brother, what about this? Sister, what about that? Constant fellowship. How do the older and experienced saints fit into this? By point A1, how about the brothers? Why don't you read this?
The older and more experienced saints are the foundation and the framework of the church. The young people are the ones who carry out the Lord's move in a direct way.
So what are the older and experienced saints. Do you treasure the older and experienced saints?
Yeah.
I hope you do. How do they fit into the picture? Foundation and framework, all right? We're in a building. If there was no foundation, it'd be a lot of materials, but no stability. And again, if we just take these rafters out, then the building will collapse. So what is the supporting strength? What upholds the whole structure is the framework and the foundation. And yes, on the one hand, that's Christ. But practically speaking, in the church life, the older and more experienced saints are the foundation and framework of the church. If it was just us in this room, then we wouldn't last that long. We would collapse. But because we have the older and more experienced saints, we can be stabilized. If we're linked to them, then we're stabilized. We will not collapse. And point two, the church's responsibility is to do everything necessary to help the young brothers and sisters to carry out their word. What's the key word in point two? The key word is help. Help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. All right? If I'm coordinating with a group of students, or not me, but a group of students are coordinating, want to have a welcome dinner, you say, okay, Brother A, you take care of the food. Brother B, you bring the barbecue. Brother C, you prepare the outlines. Brother D, you prepare the place. You know, sisters, you go set up. Then when the students come, the new students come, there's no one left to talk to them. Well, the older saints are left to talk to them. That's backwards. We shouldn't be afraid to ask for help. There are many, many saints who just need to be asked. They would love to help. They would love to prepare the food. They would love to set up the chairs. They would love to do lots of these things, but it requires us to be open to ask for help. All right, help. Help the young brothers and sisters. Number three, the students should bring their burden for their fellow students to the church in order to bring their burden for their fellow students to the church.
Amen.
In order to stir up the whole church to pray for what they are doing. First of all, if we're not in the prayer meeting, then we can't present anything in the prayer meeting. Of course, this is not just on the prayer meeting level. But this could be in a home as well. But have you presented some of the ones that you're burdened for to some of the older or more experienced saints? Have you done that? Maybe some of you have, maybe some of you haven't. But this is what we need to do.
Amen.
We should bring it. Now, even if we can't, we may not be able to present this in the prayer meeting of the church. There may be hundreds of saints in the locality where we are, and it may not be appropriate. It depends on the leading brothers. However, the principle is again, the older and experienced saints. If we can't present it officially in a prayer meeting, at least we can present it to a few saints who are burdened. To let them know, hey, I have some fellow students. I'm burdened for them. Help me. Help me pray for them. And four, it is best, right? There's many ways to do things, but we like to do it in the best way. What's the best way? If the students refer their activities on campus to the experienced brothers and sisters, including full-timers, for help, fellowship, and coordination. Help, fellowship, and coordination. There's a story, actually. Joseph, can I borrow your Bible? If you have your Old Testament, you can pull out your Bible and flip to 1 Kings 12. Then after this, we'll have Felipe and Christy come up. They're going to share something about this. All right? 1 Kings 12, 6 through 8. All right, this is a... good portion. Let me read it to you, okay? You can listen. Verse 6 says, "Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the elders who attended Solomon his father while he was alive, saying, 'What counsel do you give me to return as an answer to this people?' There was a new king, a young king. He was the son of Solomon." Is that right? Yeah. 1 Kings 12, 6 through 8. And he consulted with the elders, more experienced ones. What should I do? He was going to present something to the people of Israel. Then the elders, what did the elders say? "And they spoke to him, saying, 'If today you will be a servant to this people, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants always.'" But verse 8, what did he do? "But he forsook the counsel of the elders with which they counseled him, and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him, who attended him." Right, so he was there with his buddies and decided, all right, what my buddies say, that's what we're going to do. If you look what happened later, he lost the kingdom. All right? The people, just a few verses later, he presented to the people there what his buddies advised him to do. And the people's reaction in verse 16, they said, forget you. What portion do we have in David? Neither do we have an inheritance. Let's get out of here. And then in verse 18, he's like, okay, I'm going to force you to stay under me. And what did they do to the guy that he sent to force him? Yeah, they stoned him to death. All right? So, don't forsake the council. All right? Don't forsake the council. All right? Now we have a couple of students, Christy and Felipe. I'll just share something about coordinating with the older and experienced saints.
Man, praise the Lord. My name is Felipe, and I'm going to be a junior at USC. And I've just been experiencing what I think one of the first messages talked about, the clusters of grapes. And in my freshman year, I met this brother, Alex. And me and Manny started praying. Manny's another brother. We started praying for this one. And he started meeting with us, right? He was just in all my classes. And then that was freshman year. Then sophomore year, he started getting a burden for his friend, Warren. And then me and Alex started praying for Warren. And eventually this last semester, Warren was meeting with us almost every Thursday at Stephen's home meeting. And he was, just getting many appointments with Stephen. But this last semester, it was mainly, Stephen and Alex taking care of Warren. I mean, I'm sure they were praying and stuff for Warren. But eventually, in the summer, this summer, Alex went back to Hong Kong. So it was up to me and Stephen to take care of this one. And we've just been enjoying praying and coordinating to take care of this one. We've had a couple of appointments with him, and they've been awesome. I mean, they've just really been like truth-infusing times. And also, me and another brother, he's a local brother. He works, and we've just been praying for this one as well. And then now, Warren, Alex, and myself, we're really burdened for our fourth friend. His name is Damien. And we've been praying for him. I mean, we've just been enjoying all just praying for our clusters. So just two things that we've just been enjoying is the clusters. And then also just, it's not just me. It's not just Alex. It's not just Stephen taking care of the ones, but it's all of us coordinating and praying and taking care of all the new ones.
My name is Christy. I go to the University of Puerto Rico at Rio Piedras. Well, a year ago, the number of full-timers in my campus was reduced. So because of the lack of the full-timers, some students began to labor in the campus work. Last semester, a full-timer and I started taking care of a new one, and we started having an appointment with her. And this appointment was every Monday, so the sister and I had a prayer time for this time every Lord's Day. In our appointment, this new one always had like very deep questions. And sometimes after the end of our time with her, we felt like our appointment with her was a disaster because we couldn't answer to all of her questions. But I can testify that because of our times of prayer, we were sustained through all the semester. And this new one never missed one appointment. And it was all thanks of our prayer time. And I praise the Lord that we the students can labor with other full-timers and other saints of the community to take care of the new ones.
That's right. So now let's go to B. Let's read this together. This is a good one. How about let's stand up and read it together? We need Thank you. All of the wimps who go to campus need a home for their contacts. Right?
No.
No, it says every young person. It's not just, you know, all of us, okay? Every young person, all of us here in this room, Every young person who goes to the campus needs a home for his contacts. All right, and for ourselves as well. We all need a home. Number one, okay, what? Okay, think, just put your outline down. Now think about a home gathering. A home gathering. What makes a home gathering really attractive?
Food.
Okay, wait. Just, for sure, food is part of it. Especially, yeah. So food. Okay, just listen to me. Again, what do we think? When we bring a friend, what would really make it attractive to that person to, you know, to want to stick around? All right? Is it, let me throw some things out. Is it being burning in spirit?
No.
Well, that's very good. And that can be very attractive, and we don't want to diminish that. Or is it the clear, straight expounding of the truth? We don't want to set that aside. And that can be very good. But in a home setting, those are usually not the primary things that cause someone to want to return. It's not the clear expounding of the truth. It's not, you know, like we're here in the college training, just, you know, crazy enjoying the Lord. In a home setting, that's not, well, what is it? What is it? Food, yeah. That's, all right, let's read point one. Let me read you point one. If the saints gathered in a home are well coordinated, the new ones will be inspired with what they see. Our service in coordination. What happens when there's coordination? It will touch, soften, and warm up their heart to receive the living, piercing word. Amen. Tell you what, even if we have the living, piercing word, it could, you know, in one ear, out the other, no effect. It requires coordination. Coordination. What does that mean? That I'm not talking about, you know, in the meeting, but I'm talking about outside of the meeting. Some relatedness with one another. If I only see Sean Friday night, there is a lack of coordination there. And the coordination is based just on our relatedness to one another. There's a verse, and after we read point two, which we'll do after I read you this verse, we'll have there's six students who want to share about coordination related to the home gatherings. But let me read you this verse, Philippians 2:25. You can look at it. It says, "But I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your apostle and minister to my need." When we come together in the homes or in any kind of meeting, many times we come together as fellow workers or as fellow soldiers, but we may miss the first thing, which is what? Brother, right? We can't skip over. If you look at, there's a footnote, right? A very short footnote on, is it brother?
Yes.
My brother, what does it say?
First
a brother.
Wow.
Then what?
Then
a worker. And then a soldier. All right? If we can't just be brothers, then we can't be soldiers. We have to be related. And this is not just among ourselves, but even with the saints who are opening their home for us. We need to enjoy a relationship with them as fellow brothers and sisters, not just as food providers or, you know, but there's a sweet coordination.
Amen.
That's what captures people.
Amen.
If there's a sweet coordination and you bring someone, they'll be captured. Number two, our living rooms should be filled
Amen.
With the enjoyment of Christ in the Word,
Amen.
With singing and psalming,
Amen.
Such an atmosphere of enjoyment and mutuality requires what? Yeah. Not just coordination, but a great deal of coordination. Tell you what, you know, this college conference or this college training, it doesn't just happen. To enjoy the word, to sing, to psalm, there is a great deal of coordination that goes into it. But for some reason we might think, but the home meetings, it's different. You know, you just come together and suddenly we're singing, we're psalming, we're enjoying the word, and all of a sudden, you know, it's great. Actually, it's the same. With anything, it's the same. In order to have an atmosphere of enjoyment and mutuality, there needs to be something behind it. And that is not just a small amount, but a great deal of coordination. It's almost like the roots of a home meeting. You know, we have the roots of our Christian life, but the roots of a home meeting, behind the scenes, underneath, you can't see it. That's the coordination throughout the week. It's the relatedness, the calls, the prayer reading, enjoying, seeing one another as brothers. So now we have six students who are going to come up and share concerning their participation in the coordination for the homes. Why don't you come up now? We got the Yao brothers from Irvine and some others, all six of you. And we're going to give, we can have the guitar help us. We're going to give them 2.5 minutes. And where's, and then Sarah and, sorry, sister, I forgot your name. Sarah and
Wendy.
We'll give them 2 minutes together. And then each of these sisters gets 1.5 minutes. All right? Yeah, so these brothers together get. So go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. We're from Irvine. I'm Jonathan. One of our dear full-timers, Enosh, he had fellowship with some of the families in our community, and they expressed a burden for the students. And one in particular, the Martinez's. Sister Gloria, she said that having the students over at their home would be a salvation to them in bringing them into the function of caring for these new contacts on campus with the students.
So, and also the full-timer also went to the students because the students have all these contacts. We have all these contacts, but like, what are we going to do with them? It's like, there's no way for us to meet all their needs specifically and in a good way. So us students and the full-timers and the families came together to pray, to coordinate, and together to see about this time, and this turned out to be a regular Wednesday time where we coordinate, we pray, we study these contacts, get to know each other, the family. Yeah, the families are lovely.
Amen. And so this coordination and Thursday time have been going on for the past quarter, and there's been some clear benefits already. The first being, you know, a lot of these students are commuters, and on Friday they can't make the home meetings. They go back home. And so this Thursday time opens up a way for them to get into the homes, get to know the families, and more students get connected with more people outside their Bible study. Mm-hmm. And also the families, they also really enjoyed this because this was kind of new to them. And so the families enjoyed it so much they wanted to bring this up to other families and brought it up to the church in a practical way where other family could just enter into this burden by cooking for, you know, 10 to 12 people. And so it was a practical way for the other families to enter into this. And also, some of the new sisters that have been meeting with the Martinez's, they felt so comfortable and really just enjoyed this home setting that they could just sleep over at her house and, you know, from there go to school the next day. And, you know, it was just so sweet. You know, these are just, it's just only for one quarter. And they already has this kind of, you know, relationship built up. And also, there was a brother, he was an international student from London, and he met with us, and he was like, wow, you know, I wish I found you guys sooner. And he just really enjoyed the sweet fellowship and the singing, and he brought two of his friends over, and he went back to London already, but these two of his friends expressed like that they just want to come back and meet with us weekly. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, one thing I forgot. And also... Because, like, in the In this coordination, it's not just the students and the full-timers laboring on these contacts. The families actually are brought into function to also labor on these ones. And then these families and these contacts actually get connected, and these families actually get burdened for these contacts.
Amen.
Amen. My name is Kathy, and I go to Cal State Fullerton. But anyways, my home meeting is in Anaheim because that's where I was built. Well, I'd just like to share that just this past year, the sisters in my home meeting decided to get together to have a set prayer time every Thursday at 5:30 to pray for burdens or anything, your condition or your situation. And that time is just really sweet because it allows us to just open to one another. And it's not, so then by the time it's Friday, like, it's not just a gathering every Friday, you know, not just, oh, another meeting, but it's just like your home, you know, it's just like something you're built into. And I just really saw, like, through all those prayers, we were getting built. We were being knitted together, you know, with Christ, through Christ. And so anyways, through these prayer times, we had written down all our prayers on a list in a prayer journal. And anyways, looking back at the journal, we would see, like, prayers were being answered. And, you know, we prayed for this couple to come, and they came to the home meeting. And then we prayed for my friend, one particular experience, we prayed for my friend named Jenny, who was here only for a semester. She's an international student. And anyways, we prayed that she would come to the home meeting. And the week before she had to go, she came. She came to the home meeting, and she really enjoyed it. And I just really saw that she touched the home. She touched the church life, what's in the home. Actually, before that, she went to different homes to have dinner, but we really wanted her to come to the home meeting. And anyways, praise the Lord. You know, if you're not in a home, get in a home and open yourself to the saints in the home. They're willing to care for you. And sometimes they're just wondering, oh, you know, how are they? But we're not the ones, you know, seeking them. But actually, we just need that connection. We need to open to one another, to open to the saints of the community. Amen.
My name's Amy, and I just finished my first year at UCLA. And this past year, I've really enjoyed having Thursday night dinners at a couple's home. It would usually be a group of no more than 10 people, including the couple, a full-timer, a couple of working ones, and a few undergrads and a grad student. So it was just a good mix of different ages. And this past quarter, we've been getting into a booklet. We've been reading together during our dinners, a booklet on the basic elements of Christian life. And through the brother's suggestion, we began to practice with one another, preaching the gospel and speaking to each other. And we would give each other feedback and pointers and kind of help each other out on how to speak to other people. And the brother also, he encouraged us to, during the week, to go out and try to speak to someone, either a friend or someone who we didn't know. And the next week, we would come back together and share of our experiences. And that was really beneficial and supplying for me because during these times, like oftentimes, I would have burdens for my friends or for certain classmates. But I wouldn't really know how to go about dealing with these burdens. But, Lord Jesus. So during these dinners, I felt that even the community saints, both their burdens and the students' burdens, it became our mutual burdens. Their burdens became ours and ours became theirs. And it was a really sweet time of shepherding. And even this one friend, Jamie, she's one friend that I knew since middle school, and I brought up her name once, and actually I brought up Lord Jesus. Basically, the sister of the couple, the wife, she Lord Jesus, she really through these times, my burden for Jamie became a burden to her. Even she told me, she was like, I don't even know her. I haven't even met her, but I love her so much, and I'm so burdened for her. So we've been praying together for her. So amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. My name is Wendy, and I'm a second year at UC Riverside. And one of the things I was really touched with in the past year were the home meetings and the care from the saints. You know, with the home meetings, it was really easy for us to invite people because we had one just about every day. You can't, like, if they can't come today, I'm not worried. There's always one tomorrow. And then, so hallelujah for the supply. And with the care from the saints, every Wednesday before the meeting at the Mojicas, Brother James consistently texted every single college student, you know. He said, dinner and Bible study at 7 at the Mojicas tonight. Come and enjoy board games after or something like that. And I just really enjoyed the care. And through this care, in the spring quarter, me and a couple of sisters, we took up the burden to take care of the young, of the new ones in the home meetings. And this benefited me in two ways. First is that it caused me to attend the meetings regularly. Oh, and the second is that because their questions were so deep, I had to get deeper into the truth. Oh, Lord, as we grow in life together, we could become like a family, and we bear the burdens for one another. Even a 12-year-old, you know, he brought up the matter of his friend and asked that we would pray for them. You know, this time was just so sweet. Praise the Lord. Amen for shepherding. Amen for the home meetings.
Amen. Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm a second year at UCR also. And at the Mojicas, we have about 10 people for our home meetings, right? But when not everyone functions, it becomes somewhat dead sometimes, right? Sometimes Brother James is the only one who talks the whole time. But so at the college conference, we were really exposed when one of the brothers shared about how crazy his home meetings were. So on the way home, we became really burdened that our home meetings would just be living and that everyone would function. And we became so burdened that we actually decided to pray. Right. And, you know, pray for a home meeting. That's a novel concept, right? Who prays for the home meetings? But so we prayed that the meetings would be functioning and that everyone would be living in and functioning in the home meetings. And the Lord answered our prayers, you know. When we came to the next meeting at the Mojicas, I heard singing, like, before dinner. Like, they started singing before we ate dinner. So, you know, we broke with the religious concepts. Oh, we eat dinner first, then we have singing, then we have Bible study. No, we started singing before dinner, right? And we were singing like halfway through dinner even. So, you know, when we actually prayed for the home meetings and we, you know, broke with religion, broke with our concepts, it became a more enjoyable meeting. All the members were functioning. Even the brothers who normally like stayed for dinner and then just left, they actually started calling songs and singing. So praise the Lord.
Let's read the focus together. All our labor for the Lord. I just want to add one little footnote. That is, we're all in different situations. We may be in a church that is very much focused on the campus, and the leading brothers are fully supportive of that. And there are many saints who really want and are willing to open their homes to us. But we may be in other situations where there's not that many, or we're a very small locality. There may not be... We may be the only, maybe I'm the only student on that campus, and the brothers may not be fully into the burden on the campus. What should we do? Certainly there's nothing wrong with praying. If we have at least one other person who, whether it's an older saint or a fellow student or someone like that, at least we can pray together, and at least us too. We can just do our best to enter into a vital relationship, to get related, to pray, to coordinate, to contact people. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to make this a big thing where it's the whole church doing it or we're not going to do it either. We can just start something very organic. Just myself and another brother. And we're just praying together. We're burdened for his two friends, my two friends. We're getting together. We pray with one other community brother. There's nothing wrong with that. So we just have to do the best we can with wherever the Lord's put us. We don't want to get discouraged if the whole church is not turning the direction of the campus. We just can't expect every church to do that.
Yeah.
They may not have the resources, or they may be focused on other things, but that doesn't mean we can't just do something in a small way, just on our campus or with another, being vitally linked with another saint to pray and to be burdened for those around us. So that's just a little footnote.